Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be kind of following up with our topic from last week, but a little bit of a twist. The question today is this: does the size of my faith have anything to do with God's desire to answer my prayers? Last week we looked at the question, does the size of my faith have anything to do with God's desire to heal us? This week, does the size of my faith have anything to do with God's desire to answer prayers? And again, this is a very hot topic because there are people that say, hey, if you pray, 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 there's power in prayer and God's going to answer. Well, I agree with that. There's a ton of power in prayer. In fact, that's what scripture tells us in James chapter 5. We read in verse 16 that the prayer of a righteous person is in fact powerful and effective. We have an example from the Old Testament, verse 17. Elijah was a human being, just as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then again, he prayed in verse 18, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So, do we believe that there is power in prayer? 100%. Why do we believe it? Because what Scripture tells us. And therefore, we want to pray with earnestness. We want to pray with an expectation, an anticipation that God hears our prayers, God sees our pain, our tears, and God answers our prayers. But you've got to interpret Scripture with Scripture. We see that the powerful prayer of a man by the name of Elijah produced some pretty powerful results. But there was somebody else who had some really powerful prayers too. And it's interesting. Let's see the results. In Luke chapter 22, we read about somebody much, much greater than Elijah. This somebody, Jesus Christ, God the Son, who took on flesh and became a man. And we read about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was to be arrested, betrayed. And I'm just going to read the whole passage here to you in Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus believed in prayer. Jesus told his disciples, "Pray so you don't fall into temptation," because there is power in prayer. Not so much to change God's mind, obviously. The power is it changes us. It's part of fortifying us so we don't fall into temptation. And unfortunately, we know what happened with the disciples, especially Peter. He fell into temptation. Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." What was Jesus praying? He was basically saying, when he was talking about this cup, he was talking about the cup of God's divine wrath. We see references to the cup of God's wrath in the Old Testament. We see in the book of Revelation. It's basically God's wrath poured out because of sin. God's just divine wrath. Now, Jesus knew what kind of cup he was going to be drinking. He was going to drink the full measure of God's divine wrath because Jesus was going to be punished for the sins of all of God's chosen people throughout all of history, Old Testament, New Testament, including those who have not even been born yet. So there was a lot of sin that Jesus was going to have put on him and Jesus was going to be punished for. He knew the cup of God's divine wrath that was going to be poured out on him. And what was Jesus praying? Can this cup be passed for me? Now, I think it's fair to say, and I say that very sarcastically, Jesus had a little bit more faith than Elijah. Jesus had a little bit more faith than every human combined throughout all of history and all the good and godly prayers. Wouldn't you agree with that? Jesus, of anybody, has the perfect, pure, godly motives in his prayer. Why? Because Jesus is sinless. There was no sin or self-centeredness or self-interests, ungodly self-interest that tainted Jesus' prayer. So if there was ever a prayer of faith that could have moved God to change the plan, this would have been the prayer, friends, when Jesus said, if you are willing, take this cup from me. And oh, by the way, you want to see what kind of faith Jesus was exercising here? Verse 44 tells us, and being in anguish as he was praying, he prayed more earnestly. Remember we read in James about Elijah, how he had prayed earnestly and God answered and God shut the heavens and then reopened the heavens and poured out provision on the people. Here we read Jesus was in anguish and prayed more earnestly to the point that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Friends, none of us will ever be able to pray with that type of earnestness because none of us, as we started to sweat drops of blood, would remain conscious. But God, who was man, experienced anguish to a degree that I can't even describe. It's an anguish that none of us will ever experience because we would all pass out from the pain first. But Jesus didn't. And his anguish was so great that he burst out in blood, sweating blood, because he knew the cup of God's divine wrath he was supposed to drink. And that's why Jesus said, if you're willing, take this cup from me. If there was ever a perfect prayer, if there was ever a prayer that had the perfect, pure motives, unblemished, untainted, it was that prayer. And yet Jesus said, yet not my will, but yours be done. And we see a prayer, a powerful prayer here in the garden. And yet it didn't move God the Father to change the plan, change his mind, remove the cup, maybe soften the wrath of the cup. No, the plan was going to keep going. The full wrath of God's just wrath was going to be poured out on his beloved son. Not because of him and his sins, because he is the perfect one of heaven. He is sinless. It was because of us, God's people, and our sins. So we see in James chapter 5, we're told that the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. But then we interpret scripture with scripture, and we look in Luke 22, the prayer of the most perfect and righteous one who ever walked the face of this earth. We see his prayer was not answered. And again, I think Jesus had enough faith. Wouldn't you agree with that? I think Jesus' faith was perfect. He never had doubt. Yet the prayer wasn't answered. So what's the point here? The point is, the size of our faith does not determine God's willingness, desire, or ability to answer our prayers. God, in his grace, has foreordained everything, and what he has foreordained will, in fact, come to pass. That doesn't mean we don't pray, because again, the prayers of God's people are right, are powerful and effective. That means we pray with faith, we pray with anticipation, we pray with expectation, but we always want to make sure that what we say in our prayers are the very words of our Lord Jesus. Not my will, but your will be done. And in doing that, guess what? Your prayer is going to be answered. Maybe not in the way you want them to be answered, but the way that they should be answered according to God's perfect and holy will. And again, you cross-reference more scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So, how do your prayers become really powerful and effective? They become powerful and effective when you pray according to God's will. May your will be done. And that type of prayer is guaranteed to be answered. It is guaranteed to be answered in the most perfect way, in the most perfect time, with the most perfect result, because God's will is perfect. And oh, by the way, that then, as you pray, gives you peace, gives you confidence, gives you hope, gives you a certainty, and gives you excitement and anticipation. Because God hears your prayers, God's going to answer your prayers, and it's going to be the best answer in the best way at the best time. May not look like we want it to look, the answer, but it will be okay, because the answer is from our perfect God. More on that when we come back.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of Gospel on the Go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics. As we are discussing this very hot topic, does the size of our faith have anything to do with God's desire or willingness or even ability to answer our prayers? Well, in the first part of the program, we took a look at some different scriptures. We saw in James chapter 5 how we're told that the prayers of God's people, righteous people, the prayers are powerful and effective. And a great example that was used was the prayer of Elijah, who prayed earnestly. And God did miraculous things, shutting up the heavens and providing a famine, and then opening up the heavens and providing blessings on the land. But then we cross-reference that with Luke chapter 22, and we saw Jesus, the perfect prayer, the most faith ever exhibited in prayer. And yet his prayer wasn't answered. So what do we say there? Did Jesus' prayers fail? Oh, no, we can never say that. What do we say? That God the Father didn't care when Jesus was sweating blood? No, we can't say that. What we say is that Jesus said, hey, not my will, but your will be done. So guess what? The prayer was answered. Jesus would have to drink that cup of the Father's wrath, but that was part of the plan, part of the divine decree. And because Jesus submitted himself to the Father's plan, Christian, you and I have eternal life with God, forgiveness of sins. We're in God's royal family forever. Because the cup of God's divine wrath was not poured out on us, it was poured out on his beloved Son, Jesus, in our place. We also saw in 1 John chapter 5 that we can have confidence when we pray. If we pray according to God's will, we know he hears us, we know he answers us. Now I'm going to take a look at this question about the size of your faith. It's interesting. Jesus kind of addresses that in Matthew 17. Remember, Jesus was up on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. He had Peter there with him, James and John. The rest of the disciples were at the bottom of the mountain. A man brought his son, and who was having seizures and suffering greatly. He was even jumping or falling into the fire or into the water. And the man was frustrated because he said to Jesus, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Well, Jesus, you know, in his grace, he rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy. The boy was healed at that moment. Then the disciples said, you know, what's the deal here? How come we couldn't do it? And Jesus said, because you had so little faith. He said, but I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. What in the world was Jesus saying? On one hand, he's saying, he's rebuking his disciples, saying, you have so little faith. On the other hand, he's saying to them, all you need is mustard seed faith. Great things will happen. Oh, is Jesus contradicting himself? No, no, no. What he was rebuking them for, he said, you have so little faith. In other words, what was happening at the bottom of the mountain was that the disciples were relying on their power. They were relying on their abilities. They figured, you know what, on this one, we don't need much prayer. Jesus is up on the mountain with Peter and James and John. Hey, earlier, they went out on their first missionary journey. They came back, reported to Jesus all the miracles they had done. Who knows? Maybe the disciples are feeling a little bit arrogant, relying on their own abilities, their own pragmatic approach. And therefore, they couldn't heal this guy, this young boy. And that's why Jesus said to them, the reason why you couldn't do it is because you have so little faith. They actually had a lot of faith, but their faith was misplaced. They were directing their faith towards themselves, faith in their abilities, because they had a pretty good success. They had pretty good success earlier in their first missionary journey when Jesus had sent them out. So Jesus says, the reason why you couldn't heal is because you have so little faith. In other words, their faith was misdirected. They had a ton of faith, but in the wrong object, themselves. They exercised very little faith in the correct object, in God. And that's why Jesus then turned around and said, I tell you, even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, which is one of the smallest seeds out there, but if your faith, even small mustard seed faith, is directed towards the proper object of your faith, which is God, Jesus said, nothing's impossible for you. Do you see it? So does the size of your faith have anything to do with God answering your prayers and moving him to do things? No. Yes, you want to have a lot of faith. Faith in that when you pray according to God's will, you can have a ton of confidence that the prayer is going to be answered perfectly according to God's will. So yeah, you want to have a ton of faith in that. Not a ton of faith to say, if I show faith to God, if I prove to God, if I show God, if I show God, I show God, then he has to answer my prayer. No, no, no. In fact, you're exercising faith in the wrong object. You're exercising faith in yourself that you'll have enough faith that then can move God. That's misplaced faith, just like the disciples had. It's not about the size of your faith. It's about the size of the one in whom you exercise faith. Let me repeat that. It is not about the size of your faith. It is about the size of the one in whom you exercise faith. I mean, think about it. You've got all kinds of false religions in the world today. And they're exercising all kinds of faith. My goodness, there's a religion out there that says, I'm going to strap dynamite on my child, put that child in a bus, let the bus explode and kill all the infidels, according to their religion. And my child automatically gets to go to paradise, automatically gets all kinds of blessings up there. Even my family does, based upon what my child did. What? Do you see how much faith those people have? They have a ton of faith to put dynamite on their child and sacrifice their child for some place they've never been to or seen. Friends, that's a ton of faith, but it's misplaced. That's the problem. It's misplaced. And as a result, you have all kinds of murders happening in the name of some God. People radically exercising faith. But it's misplaced. Jesus said, if you have your faith exercised in the right place, towards Him, towards God, even if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, because of the size of your God, nothing's impossible according to His will. Do you see it? And that's why Jesus gives us the famous Lord's Prayer. He says, look, and I love this because He says in Matthew 6, verse 8, He says, look, your heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask. And people say, well, then why should we pray? Well, the reason why you pray, number one, is because God tells you to pray in the Scripture. So you want to obey what God says. Number two, the reason why you pray is because prayer gives you the proper perspective. You're reminded of who God is. You're reminded that He's all powerful. You're reminded that He's your loving Heavenly Father, Christian. And you're reminded that when you seek, He answers. You knock, the door is open. You ask, and He'll give, but according to His will. And that's why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer says, look, your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. But then in verse 9, He says, this then is how you should pray. He doesn't say, well, because your Heavenly Father already knows what you need before you ask Him, Jesus doesn't say, well, then just forget prayer. No, no, no. He immediately follows up saying, God is sovereign. He already knows what you need. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. But this then, because of that, is how you should pray. And it's very interesting, the Lord's Prayer. He starts out by saying that our prayer should be God-centered, not on us, self-centered. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you notice that? Starts out by saying our Father in heaven. I love that. Our Father, reminding us that our God is a loving Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father. And oh, by the way, He's in heaven, meaning He's ruling and reigning over all creation because He's the Creator. So right there, our Father in heaven should give you like, oh, that's right. When I'm praying right now, I'm praying to my loving Heavenly Father who cares for me. But I'm also praying to my King, my God, who rules from heaven over everything. He's sovereign. Wow, that gives you the perspective. And then that's why the pronouns, your name be hallowed. Not about my name. First, God, it's about your name. Your kingdom come. God, it's not about my self-centered desires or efforts. It's about your kingdom. God, your will be done, not mine. On earth as it is in heaven. Wow. In heaven, do you think there's any self-centered prayers there? No. In heaven, do you think there's any tainted prayers there? No. So when you're saying, our Father in heaven, your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. And oh, by the way, God, this prayer I'm praying to you, may it be pure and holy and filled with faith as is being done in heaven right now. And then in verses 11, 13, Jesus says, okay, now you can switch to pronoun. Give us today our daily breads. God, please meet my physical needs. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. God, please meet my spiritual needs. Forgive me and give me the strength, Lord, to be able to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. And God, please meet my moral needs so that my life does not fall into the trap of the devil, but honors you and brings glory to you. You see it? That's how you pray. And you can pray that prayer with faith. And even sometimes if you have mustard seed faith, because your prayer is focused towards the right object, your loving, heavenly, sovereign Father of the universe, you pray that way, guess what? According to his will, it will be done. And I thank God, he knows what he's doing with your life, Christian. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.